commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in today, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today is a Tuesday. It's a political day, and I have a Borough Assembly member, Brett Roderman. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Very good.
Enjoying yourself so far this morning?
Yes.
What did I tell you about 4 minutes ago about snow? It blows my budget.
Yes, I know. Well, and like, just be glad you're not Anchorage, because I'm sure the Anchorage mayor is definitely looking at his budget right now.
You know, he's just trying to, what he's probably doing is he's trying to look at his budget and expend it. He's got no workers.
Right.
State DOT down there does not either. You know, it's if you read in today's paper, the state, Pioneers Home, they're down 25 people.
Right.
You know, we're over at the city, we're down 2 grader operators. We got 8 graders and 6 people to operate them.
Yeah, and I've heard that DOT here locally is
down.
They're down.
Yeah.
They're hurting for people. So
yeah.
They've been worried about, you know, snow removal. I mean, you got to have guys running this equipment, you know. So.
You know, you have an interesting business, your motorhome and your snow plowing.
Yeah, it's a little kind of an eclectic mix. It was a little bit of, I'd like to tell people pretty much everything I do, I got into it by accident. People would come in the shop, hey, do you ever work on this sort of stuff? Oh, yeah, I work on that stuff all the time. Never touched it before in my life. That's how it started with RVs. And certainly it was the same with snow plows. It was just completely by accident. You know, the guys at Six Rob Lee's were selling a brand of plow way back when. They asked me to do installs. I started putting the plows on, and the next thing I know, I was the plow guy in town. So, and then I became a dealer for Boss. But, you know, we work on all brands of plows. I like to joke with people that I'm an equal opportunity hater. I hate all snow plows, especially come spring. I'm definitely sick of snow plows by the time we get to spring, and I'm ready to move on to RVs and trailers. But, no, it's a good business. It keeps,
You have 2 seasons.
Yeah. Way back when, I had a couple of guys working for me. We were lucky to keep 2 guys working through the winter. Now I keep 4 guys employed year-round, and we're busier now in the wintertime than we are in the summertime. So,
goodness gracious.
Yeah.
On the Borough Assembly side, you're just about ready to start. Your departments are getting ready for their budget.
Yeah, so we'll be working into that here in the next couple of months. I just finished up my first year, which does not even remotely seem possible. That kind of flew by.
Goes by fast, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Of course, you know, now we've got our newly elected officials have been sworn in. We had our first meeting this last Thursday. They've been to 1 work session. As you know, we mix things up. One Thursday, we're in a work session. The next Thursday is a regular assembly meeting. So they've already been to 1 finance committee meeting, 1 committee of the whole, and 1 assembly meeting. At the end of their first assembly meeting, I said, you know, hey, you guys probably know I'm a pilot, so this is kind of like your little solo flight here, and you guys did good. And it was only about, I think, 10 o'clock at night. And I said, and you finished up before 1:30 a.m. I mean, geez, you know.
I bug you guys about that a lot. I really do.
David had a great saying. It was shortly after I got elected, and we just got into these meetings that went until at least midnight, oftentimes past 1 o'clock in the morning. And I remember talking to you one day, I forget where you said it, but David said, no good governance happens after 10 p.m.
That's right.
And I'm a firm believer in that now. So we'll just have to see where these agendas go, where the debate goes. Obviously, the debate is going to change. We've got a completely new group of folks. We've got a completely new philosophy. The next thing now, of course, is organization, which we just went through. So Savannah Fletcher was the only nominee for presiding officer, so she won by default. Three of us were up for DPO. I was one. Kristen Kelly and Mindy O'Neill. Ultimately, the vote came down to Mindy O'Neill, so Mindy will be our DPO. So next is, you know, committee selections and whatnot, which is done by the PO. The PO puts us on the various different committees, and we just have to wait and see what she comes up with there. So,
you know, on our side of the street, the mayor puts everyone on committees, and I kept everyone where they're at. You know, everyone's in a good groove and it all works. So hopefully they keep you where you're at.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping for that. We've certainly started the discussion for that. The big committee that I sit on is FAST. Of course, you and I sit on that committee together. It was definitely something I was interested in when I ran for office. Mr. Lajewski put me on that committee and I was confirmed. I'd love to stay, but, you know, I understand this. The political winds have changed and, you know, you got to go with the flow and where it goes.
You go with the cards you're dealt.
That's right. So if I continue to serve, I will do it gladly.
You know, I enjoyed and I admired your first year because you're not an antagonistic government elected official. You know, people sometimes get antagonistic. It's my way or the highway, and I have a hissy fit if it's not my way.
I would agree with that. So I've gotten some compliments that you just, you know, put well. I've taken some heat from folks. You know, a lot of people have accused me of being too quiet. There are oftentimes meetings where, honestly, I don't say a thing.
Yeah.
But I always listen. Mm-hmm. I listen very intently to everything that's going on. I try to treat everybody with respect, especially the people that come to testify before us. And, you know, because you have to at least show them the courtesy and respect they deserve. They showed up here. This is a big deal. They're nervous. And sometimes they're talking about things that I just don't agree with. But that doesn't mean I just sit back in my chair and roll my eyes and whatnot. But I've tried my best to be the adult in the room. I've caught myself a couple of times rolling my eyes, and I consciously stop that. But and I've told people that sometimes silence speaks volumes.
With me, what I have to do a lot of times is this refrain from jumping in with an opinion. Just let it flow. Just take a step back. You know, there might be a heated debate or subject matter debate, and I say to myself, with what you're thinking, will it be a positive impact? And if not, refrain.
Right. And another thing is, continue to listen.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to. Sometimes you got to get your blood pressure to come down. Listen to common sense and reason. Listen to what's being said. You know, and I've told people, you know, if you sit here quietly, it is amazing what you will learn.
Yeah.
You just shut your mouth. Open your ears, open your brain, and it is amazing what you can absorb. Not just what is right in front of you, but stuff that's going on around you. And so when I have something pertinent to say, I speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I've gained a reputation. People definitely know how I feel when I have something to say. They might not like what I said, but they definitely know how I feel. I hope I've earned some level of respect for that, but... my advice to our newbies that just came on board was listen, just listen. It is amazing what you will learn.
Yeah. I sit with you on fast planning and you sort of described yourself there. You're whenever you speak, it's from an educated standpoint of knowledge.
So, yep. Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's time again for Dark Winter Nights, an evening of true Alaska stories told by real Alaskans. Some funny, some thrilling. All are compelling. This Saturday night, November 18th, 7 p.m. at the Herring Auditorium. A fantastic evening of live entertainment and storytelling with your host, Brittany Carnes. Tickets for Dark Winter Nights are only $20 for adults, $15 for seniors, and $5 for kids under 12. Tickets available at darkwinternights.com. Don't miss Dark Winter Nights, courtesy of the North Star Community Foundation, this Saturday night.
Abby was released from prison after serving time for a minor crime. She was dropped in a parking lot near a soup kitchen in Anchorage, and instantly she was homeless. Without food, phone, or money, she made it to Fairbanks, only to find her family network was no longer in place. Rather than couch surf, risking victimization by men who prey on homeless women trapped by the cold, she made the decision to spend the winter in a tent. By February, worn down by the intolerable cold and moisture in the tiny space, she contracted pneumonia. Burning with fever, Abby made it to the rescue mission. She met a young woman there who told her about the love of Jesus, then showed that love by spending the night at the ER as Abby's condition stabilized. Abby returned to the mission and her life was saved. Without you, there is no mission, and Abby's story ends in the tiny dark tent. Please donate today at FairbanksRescueMission.org. That's FairbanksRescueMission.org.
Who turned out the lights? Never get stuck in the dark with Auto Trim Design Moose Lights and backup lights on your vehicle. They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way, with honesty, integrity, and respect. Customized by Auto
Trim Design. Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nenana, and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Highs level off around 26 today under overcast skies with a chance of snow. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of snow, lows around 15. Chance of snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 25. Overcast skies. About an inch of snow Thursday through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I got Brett Roderman in the studio here with me, Borough Assembly, seat
B.
B.
I believe. Jeez, you had to ask. I've already forgotten. It's been a year. I've forgotten already.
You see, this is the differences between our bodies. You know, you sit in the seat that, you know, you have A, B, C, D, right. E, and F. You know, I was in seat F, the same spot for 6 years. You guys, doesn't matter what your seat is, the presiding officer seats you.
Right.
Where the presiding officer wants to seat you.
Yeah, so there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's definitely not alphabetical. So, yeah. I'm in seat B. So.
Where were you sitting last year, and where did you sit this last meeting at?
Same place. So I'm down on the flank. I sit right next to the borough attorney and over by the mayor and the chief of staff. So, okay. And quite frankly, I enjoy it down there. I enjoy the flank. I can look down the line. I can see everybody. I can see everybody's reaction to stuff. It's great to sit right next to the mayor and the attorney. I mean, you've got a wealth of knowledge there. It's great to lean over.
What are they trying to say here?
Or just if I've got questions during the break or whatever, it's great to be able to be right there. So I'm hoping to remain there. I guess we'll see. You know, David Guttenberg and I sit together. We get along great.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. It's up to the presiding officer. So the next time people come into an assembly meeting, they might notice that we've all been moved, and you know that's okay.
You're looking at getting back into the Alaska Municipal League.
So one of the first things we did when I got elected is we voted ourselves out of the AML. So that is one thing that's come up. We're going to have a special assembly meeting. Coming up, I guess it's this Thursday, to vote on that. So And I believe this body will vote us back into to the municipal league. I was supportive of getting out. I thought it was a lot of money for not a lot of gain.
You guys were paying like $44,000 a year.
I think it was more than that. I think it was like $56,000.
Yeah.
So it was quite a bit of money. My personal opinion is the Alaska Municipal League doesn't really believe in what I think most Fairbanksans believe. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're kind of a big tax and spend type organization. To me, it just seems like a club. And honestly, I think that the training that that we could get from AML, personally, I believe that our clerks and our attorney can do a better job of that training, especially since it's geared right towards us. Mm-hmm. We did do something like that right after I got elected. In talking with some of the other members, I think we should have done more of those training sessions. We kind of went through one or two quote-unquote big ones. I think we probably should have had maybe 4 to 6 smaller ones. But they can give us stuff that's really, truly directed right at us.
You know, I'm on their board. I went to a meeting, got elected to their board.
Well,
anyway, what I find is for the city of Fairbanks, it's okay. But with me on the board, what I can start doing is influencing policy.
Right.
Now, they have this aspect about the defined benefit program. So I'm on the board, and I'm saying, hold it. Who here has a PERS and TERS that you're paying?
Right.
Since 2006 when we got out of this, and we still are paying it.
Right.
At 22 cents on the dollar. Who in this room pays that? I want to see your hands. And I want to see the hands of those who want to go back to it. Because I pay it. We pay it. That's 22 cents on every dollar we could give our police and our fire. And we can't.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how I handle it with them. So I'll make sure they look at that very critically before they support it. And so I thought to myself, it's not what they support. It's what you have them not support.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and getting a seat at the table at these things, that that's how things change.
Yeah.
That's how the winds change. And
yeah.
If you could advocate for us on that, maybe someday I will support going back into the AML. Like I said, I think we'll return. I think our newbies will go down for the newly elected officer training. I don't mm-hmm. believe I'm going to participate. I think I'm just going to kind of stick to my principles here. And
then another thing I jumped on real fast is you don't do anything. You don't advocate anything for a specific community. It's either all the state or nothing. And we had an Anchorage representative trying to, advocate things just for Anchorage. And it was like, no.
Right.
That's not what we're here for.
Right.
And, you don't get to use this statewide presence for your individual item.
Well, that's why it's nice to have, folks from around the state that can get on these boards. It's great mm-hmm. that, you ended up getting elected. That's kind of funny. You attend a meeting and found yourself on
the
board,
Yeah, I put my name in the hat, and then I left and they elected me with no speeches, no anything, just all of a sudden I was elected.
Right.
But anyway, I enjoy the people. I enjoy it. And the benefit analysis to me has not proven itself, whether to be in or the out. So what I'm doing is I'm just using it as much as I can for the things I believe in.
Right.
And what it usually is we're not doing this. You don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why.
Right. Yeah.
It gets entertaining. So tell me about your upcoming budget. Let's look at last year's budget. You have about a $240 million budget, of which a large portion of it goes to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your retained just for the what your borough that didn't go over to the school district? What was that amount last year?
Without sitting with the budget book in front of me,
yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
No, I'd literally have to have that budget book in front of me. So I think this year, I think the big debate is probably going to be the school district, and what we ultimately end up giving them. It's always been a hot button item. It hogs up a big chunk of our budget discussion. Right now, I don't have a really good feel of where it's going to go. I think there's going to be a bigger ask. You know, in the end, we gave them $50 million. We were hoping that the state was going to come through with that one-time allocation. The governor ended up vetoing it, but many
or
of
half
us,
of it, yeah.
or half of it anyway, yeah. but many of us had said, and we had told members of the school board and the public that, that we believe that if that didn't come through, we would go back and we would do a special allocation, which we did, for another $4 million. So, yeah, where this is going to go, I don't know. My personal opinion is I think they're gonna ask for the maximum,
mm-hmm.
And then that's gonna be make for a very interesting discussion because, you know, if they do ask for the maximum, really the only way to provide that is we're gonna have to dip into savings. That would be that's really one of the only ways we can do it, and so. That is, again, that's going to make for a really interesting discussion because if, say, if their ask is $20 million more than we're able to give and we have to dip into fund balance, which is a savings account, you could very quickly end up depleting some of your fund balance.
Yeah.
So
those would be interesting questions and seeing interesting directions.
Yes. And, you know, the whole budget process with the school districts, it's always been so frustrating to me. Right now, the school district is really going through their budget. Then, you know, the folks in Juneau will reconvene. They start going over their budget. Then we start to convene as we get closer to spring and we start going through our budget. And nobody really knows what the other one is thinking or doing. And so we end up in the end, we're arguing over numbers that don't even exist. You know, the state still hasn't come up with a budget. We have no idea what they're going to be able to provide the school district. We've got the school district breathing down our neck as the assembly, looking for more and more money, not knowing what the state is going to give. And the thing that got so frustrating to me as I started piecing this timeline together was, we're sitting here arguing with each other over numbers we don't even know exist. And the next thing you know, you've got folks that were pretty friendly to one another. All of a sudden, now they're upset at one another. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like the whole process is so convoluted. To me, it just seems like we should know where the state sits before we
make a decision.
Before we make a decision. But the state always drags the budget process out so long, and then we're caught in the middle. And then we got to sit around and wait and see where are they going to fall with this? And it just, the whole thing just seems so backwards to me, you know.
Yeah, you're sending out pink slips without even, the school district sends out pink slips without even know if they need to send out pink slips.
That's right, you know. And so I spoke to it publicly a lot during that process that as somebody coming in from the outside, I mean, remember, guys, I came into this pretty much completely blind. I really thought I knew something about borough government. Boy, when you get in, being somebody like me, you find out you know zero about what is going on. And your learning curve is steep, and my learning curve is still steep. You know, there's still going to be a whole nother year, I think, of a pretty steep learning curve here.
What I've always told people is when you're a newly elected person, you learn government by the budget.
Yes. Yeah, everybody told me, you know, you'll start to put all the pieces of the puzzle together when we enter the budget. And that was true. The problem is our budget process moves very quickly. Of course, you know, Tammy Wilson was chair of finance back then. Tammy runs a very efficient meeting. And for a newbie sitting there, sometimes it was a little too efficient, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so you could get...
Not much of a learning curve.
Right.
This is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it.
Well, you're learning, but it's like the classic, you're learning by the fire hose, you know.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're going to hear a little bit of bumper music, War, Lowrider. I approve that. Then we have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Johnson facing a government shutdown, but does have a spending plan.
The latter CR, the two-step CR, everybody calls it something different. It's a new innovation. But it's going to change the way we've done this. We have broken the fever. We are not going to have a massive omnibus spending bill right before Christmas. That is a gift to the American people.
The speaker on the Fox News channel, he wants this two-part bill, which extends some aspects of government funding. Not all Republicans on board, though. He needs Democratic help. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer seems open to listening, at least. On Wednesday, President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping, they'll meet in California, talking on relations between the two countries. When asked about the meeting at the White House, President Biden talked about what he wants to see between these two countries.
Get back on a normal course of corresponding, being able to pick up a phone and talk to one another if there's a crisis, being able to make sure our military still have contact with one another.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska House Republicans have confirmed Governor Mike Dunleavy's appointment of Republican Thomas Baker to the state house. Baker was sworn in Monday, the Republican-led House majority said. Dunleavy had appointed Baker to replace independent representative Josiah Patkotak, who resigned last month after being elected North Slope Borough Mayor. Because Patkotak was an independent, Dunleavy was not bound by party affiliation in choosing a replacement, but there were questions around who would be involved in confirming his pick. Dunleavy's office had said Baker's name would be sent to Republican House members for a confirmation vote. Provisions of law dealing with vacancies were tweaked under a 2020 ballot measure. Scott Kendall, an attorney and author of that measure, has said that the confirmation should be voted on by members of the House majority, regardless of their party affiliation. Patkotak was one of four rural lawmakers, independents and Democrats, who this year joined with 19 Republicans to form a majority in the House. Support for Baker among majority House Republicans was unanimous.
Online at KFAR660.com.
It's dark, it's cold, and that snow's gonna start loading up on a couple of those trees hanging over your yard or house. You do know that Eric and his crew at Great Alaska Tree Company work year-round, right? Troublesome trees don't wait for summer, and neither should you. Winter's the worst time for tree damage. The power lines, cars, and homes, specializing in those tricky, hard-to-reach areas, licensed, bonded, and insured, it's Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-470.
Receive rebate savings up to $100 when you buy four new Bridgestone Blizzak studless snow tires now at GCR. Get a grip on winter with your own set of Blizzak snow tires today. Submit the online forms to receive your prepaid Visa card of up to $100. There's a Blizzak snow tire for practically everything you drive. Hurry in. This Bridgestone Blizzak rewards offer ends December 4th. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman. We choose to live in Alaska. Yeah, it gets cold, but that's just part of it. The ice and snow, the price of fuel, we can't control them. So, we prepare. We reduce our net cost with a new Blaze King wood stove and a shed full of dry firewood. With a smaller carbon footprint than oil or natural gas, it's better for the environment. Check out the Blaze King wood stoves at the Woodway. Be prepared. Whatever comes, the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Brett Roederman in the studio with me, but I also have, because she's my boss, Melissa Burnett, because she runs KFAR, because she does a great job running my favorite radio station, The River, and because far be it from me to not let her have the opportunity.
Yeah.
To
and her office is right across the hall,
so there's no sneaking in, Brett.
Oh, I see everybody that comes down the hallway.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's like coming in at 10 o'clock at night when I was a teenager and saying hello to Mom.
Yeah.
Making sure everything was fine. Mom was making sure everything was fine.
Mom sits across the hall.
Yeah. So anyway, Melissa, you're on the school board.
Yes.
Budgetary, you get a lot of your funding directly from that body.
We do, yes, from the assembly, from Mr. Roederman, who, you know, I want to give a word of warning to the assembly this year. You know, I know that the school district is in need. but it might be time that the school district reaps what they sow. And this is not a situation where we should be raising taxes because we're not spending money thoughtfully or any type of responsibly. So that's kind of my two cents on it. You know, I definitely am pro funding, and I definitely want, you know, what's right for our students and such, but man, there's a path that we're starting to go down that I'm not thrilled with. So we'll see what happens. You know, we've got $57 million that we're short right now, and it's only going to get worse due to the 3% increase that we gave to our teachers and stuff, which, don't get me wrong, our teachers definitely deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't afford it.
Yeah.
And that is what we have been screaming. And even now I keep hearing rhetoric of, well, we're not making enough. We're still not making enough. Some of us teachers, we need to make 40 an hour to, you know, get by. And while I understand that it's expensive as hell to live up here, and, you know, we got to make our ends meet.
You're right. You have to make your ends meet.
Yeah, we have to budget. We can't just go spend and just think it's going to come to us. I think we got slapped pretty hard last year with that. I mean, the governor came in and took half right off the top. You know, now luckily the borough did come in the other $4 million that we needed, but truly, the governor came in. And
I want to hear some real sucking up over here.
Hell,
he gave me
no.
an extra $4 million.
No.
I want some real good, pretty, you know, painting that pig pretty. I want to hear it.
If Assembly Member Roderman knows anything about School Member Burnett, it's that I don't suck up.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's theory and then there's reality.
Exactly.
That's right.
I don't suck up. You know, I just tell it like it is.
You know, you had some people come in last year from the school board that really spoke aggressively down towards you.
That was just last week. Yeah.
Oh, it's happening more again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was an interesting experience. You know, considering that body is beholden to us, for the bulk of their funding, I thought it was a little bit disrespectful. I was a little bit dismayed.
Yeah.
I understand politics gets ugly sometimes.
Yeah.
Emotions run high, and especially when we start talking about schools and kids and that sort of thing, you know.
But was it for kids or was it for the FEA?
Well,
that's where there's a fine line there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so is for the FEA.
There's a very fine line.
Yeah.
Yep. And all of that needs to be taken into account. The thing that I'm not happy with a lot of things in this whole budget process.
You're just
but one
a
of the things
guy.
one of the things I'm really not happy with this the money situation is we never talk about results. What are we getting for results? So, you know, last night I was with, I got invited out to Mike Prox's, you know, town hall meeting out at North Pole. And this is one of the things that we were talking about at the town hall meeting. What are we getting for our money, you know? And we just keep hearing all these stories that we're not getting the bang for our buck. You know, I have an in-house storyteller. I happen to be married to a professor at the university. So she is acquiring these kids coming out of public school, not just our public schools, but she's getting them from around the country and around the world. And I can tell you, she's not impressed. If you asked her, she will tell you she is not impressed with what she's seeing. And then we get them into college, and what do we send them to? We immediately send them into remedial reading, remedial math, remedial writing, because they are sadly, sadly unprepared for college. If you're unprepared for college, you're unprepared for life.
You want to go to college, yeah. If you're coming out unprepared, doesn't matter what you're going to do. If you're deficient in reading, writing,
yeah,
mathematics,
yeah.
Guess what? Your school failed you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what the money is
on
failure.
Nope.
I wish over the years I had saved some of the, I don't really do job applications at my shop. I tell people just bring me a resume. At least it makes them sit down and write something and think about themselves a little bit instead of just answering questions, yes, no questions. I wish I had saved a file over the years because unfortunately, most of them are pretty comical. They're incomplete sentences. punctuation's wrong. Mm-hmm. Capitalization after punctuation is wrong. And
basic English and grammar.
Basic English and grammar. And hey, folks, I'm no real genius either. You know, yeah. I didn't go to college. I tried to. It wasn't for me. I wanted to work.
But it's a reflection on our education system.
You want to talk about grammar? I just got an email and a text message this morning from a parent who was upset over something that was on the walls at one of the schools. And they spelled Wolverines wrong, and the grammar was horrible. It's like, he's not wrong. It's you want results, so you want kids who can read, you want kids who can write, you want kids who can do math. That's what you want. That's what we want. That's what we need kids who can read, write, and do math. I mean, otherwise mm-hmm. they're not going to be functional adults, like hardly. But you know, when you tell or say our kids can't read, write, and do math, you'll get the other half of the school board that just looks at you like, oh, yes, they can. They're fine. They're fine. Our kids are fine. We need to worry about this. We need to protect. I mean, it was this past weekend at Alaska Association of School Boards was so eye-opening for the direction that this is going. And I just sat there going, what in the world is happening right now? And there's not much I can do about it.
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah.
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Melissa and Brett. And your name is?
My name is Ron.
Good Hello, morning. Ron. Hey, how are you doing? I may start calling you A-Ron.
or Shinola Ron will do.
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, just a quick comment. Straight talk is good to hear.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Ron. Thank you for calling.
Take care, buddy.
Well, that's what this is at this point. We need to stop sugarcoating everything, and we need to stop putting emotions behind it. I spent the last year really seriously getting emotional over a lot of things, and that needs to stop. We need to take the emotion out, and we need to call a spade a spade. And the spade is that we're broke, and the school district needs to remedy that situation. Otherwise, it's only going to get worse.
You're both broke, and you're lacking in results.
Yeah. Yes. And we're not being honest with the public. It's
on this show we are.
On this show. Absolutely. But we're talking school closures and nobody knows it.
Yeah.
Like, we're not putting that out there to the public. Why are we not saying this out loud?
Ready for a phone call?
I am.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Melissa and Brett. And your name is?
Yeah, this is Rich here. I'm at the North Pole Mall all week here, or one of us is, for people who want to sign the ranked choice voting petition book. We're here from 11 to 2 all week. This is a public service announcement, Dave.
It's a good one.
And we accept this public service announcement because you have upper management in the studio with me who approves this message. You take care, buddy. Thank you for the message.
North Pole Mall, 11 to 2.
Mall, 11 to 2. Ranked choice voting, remove
it. Go sign it.
Yep. Again, do I suck up well to upper management?
You do. I always get a Christmas basket, too.
Yeah.
So something that's been on my mind lately, started to kind of talk about this to the public. It definitely came up at the last, when we were in the budget, especially with the school district stuff, definitely came up in private conversations that I had with school board members, teachers, people that called me. Certainly come up lately that I don't think anybody's talking about, and that's the mental health issues that are going on here. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed, so at the last assembly meeting, you know, about four of our teachers showed up to testify, and obviously they were politicking for more money. And once I kind of got past that and I really started to listen to some of the stuff they were saying, it is amazing the consistent stories you hear of disruptions in their classrooms. Because for some reason, apparently now we think we have to put everybody in the same room together, regardless of their ability or inability.
Inclusivity.
Inclusivity, I guess. And so I'm wondering, what are we doing a disservice? I understand
yes,
that they
you
want,
are.
They want
yeah.
everybody to be treated
you're,
equal.
You're dumbing people down.
Yeah.
Well, or you're disrupting. I mean, I've got teachers telling me, you know, they've got kids that become violent. They're
yep.
throwing chairs at yep. them. They're throwing books at
yep.
them. They're constantly disrupting. I don't remember any of that when I was in school.
The worst of it was maybe a spitball that came from the kid in the back who would literally get expelled for that. That's what I grew up with. And it's not wrong. These teachers are experiencing that. I just spoke with one last night at hockey who is a teacher at one of our schools. She's got two children in her classroom right now, two of them, who are disruptive, who are causing problems for the 28 other kids that are in the classroom. So now the other 28 kids can't learn because she is spending the majority of her time with the two who are being a problem and throwing things.
On a purposeful problem.
Yeah, and they're hitting and they're throwing and they're spitting and they're biting. And it's what, you know?
To me, I think this is a real problem that we need to start talking about.
Parents aren't parenting anymore. It's really what's going on. Well, parents aren't parenting. They're sticking their kids in front of devices and then giving them to teachers for 8 hours a day. That I'm just going to call it like it is. Mm-hmm. And then we expect our teachers to fix that problem. Our teachers are not parents.
I always say the three things you need for a good education is a good teacher.
A good parent.
A parent who's involved.
Not just a...
And a student who understands consequences.
Yeah. Not just involved.
Understands consequences.
They're not just involved, though. They are in it. Yep. Parents who are in it for everything.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about them Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Fairbanks Clinic has been here for you since 1932, the year Amelia Earhart completed the first female nonstop solo flight across the Atlantic, the year BBC aired their first television broadcast. That was over 90 years ago, and they're still here, still taking care of you and your family. That's the Fairbanks Clinic in their beautiful building at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Call and schedule your appointment today with their family care practice. That's the Fairbanks Clinic, here for you since 1932.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
Kiwanis Club of Fairbanks Christmas trees are the freshest in town. And they're your 50-50 Friday half price offer this week. Kiwanis Christmas trees smell sweet, stay green, and last longer because they're handled with care and never frozen. A real live Kiwanis Christmas tree gives any home the delightful smell and a true feeling of the season. Kiwanis Tree Sales open Saturday, November 26th at the fairgrounds. Buying a Kiwanis tree gives right back to our local community. Kiwanis Christmas Trees, your 50-50 Friday offer.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Ready to fix a great career for yourself? How'd you like to work in a fun and positive environment? Expressway Auto in North Pole is now expanding and is currently accepting positions for automotive and diesel technicians. Applicants should have at least 1 year of experience as well as the skills, knowledge, and attitude to excel. Additional certifications are a plus and can increase your earning power. Applications can be dropped off at Expressway Auto on the Richardson Highway in North Pole, or to schedule an interview, call 888-659-0631. Expressway Auto is an equal opportunity employer.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters. For your Alaskan lifestyle, it's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for snow this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High of 26, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for snow tonight, 15. Cloudy skies expected, 25 tomorrow. Chance of snow. About an inch of snow Thursday through Thursday night. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Brett and Melissa. Melissa has pulled that upper management and will not let me talk about my football team.
Hell no.
That's in the southwest of America.
We don't talk Cowboys on KFAR.
And she won't even let me let their name out.
No.
So she's a horrible person.
I'm a Steelers fan. I don't like no Cowboys.
And with that, we're going to take a phone call because we can't talk about the Cowboys.
Yes.
Here we go. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Jamie.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi. Hey, Brett, I love you.
And Melissa, I like it when you get on these rolls. I like it better when you're playing the DJ girl, but whatever. Anyway, Brett, I love you. I mean, I do. But and you're an honest broker in your business. One of the last, in my opinion. But anyway, so my question, I have a million questions and things to say. I've run six kids through various homeschooling, independent, and other things, and some of them were in government schools. Some of them I suffered to put through Monroe. Anyway, whatever happens, this is my question to everybody, everywhere, state, local, state, and federal, to the COVID money. I mean, didn't you guys get a whole bunch of COVID money? And, you know, the schools were shut down, and it was...
I mean, COVID funds.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
I don't call it that.
Yes.
COVID money. What happened to that? Everybody's claiming broke, but they got gazillions of dollars for the COVID money.
So we did have COVID money, and we did utilize it. And yes, actually, we're on our last like $5-6 million of it this year. So also, those funds have to be per district. Every district has to have those COVID funds used up by 2024, if I understand it correctly. Otherwise, the remainder of them will be pulled. So we will no longer, any schools that do have some left over, they will no longer have those left over coming up. But yes, schools did get COVID funds. Mismanagement. Absolutely. You know, there were a lot of things in the district before I was on the board that had happened that they were making up for. It's, you know, it, I won't make excuses for the district of the past and the admin of the past and the way things went. But yes, the money was spent. We're on our last little bit of it this year. And our problems are related to the negotiation contracts. We actually would have been okay this year. The negotiation contracts are what is solely responsible for the decline that we are on now. So the COVID funds did help us. And I just wanted to kind of make that.
Okay, thank you. It just seems that since schools were shut down and stuff, and so many kids didn't go and went to homeschooling and other things, there was a decline in the and the school student body.
This is one of my thoughts is the COVID had parents really look at the education aspects they're looking at.
Yeah,
sure.
And then they said, "Hold it, we sent our kids to a homeschool program,
of course,
and they did better. So why put them back at Lathrop or West Valley or Ryan or Tananaw?"
It's one of the bright spots of the COVID. But the point is that you guys got all this, you know, pretend printer goes burr money sent to you, and you never hear anybody talk about it. And what Brett was saying about, and you, about these results, you know, this is just despicable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's why you listen to KFAR. We talk about that.
And then you have to spend the money. That's one thing that has to end. Spend the money before the end of the year on anything, because then you know. Well, this is like it was one time or whatever, however many years it went on. But deal. But you know, you guys had this huge influx of, you know, air money, whatever, you know, fake money that doesn't really exist. But whatever, you can still spend it. And nobody talks about it.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden I don't believe we're in any crisis. We're in a spending crisis.
Okay, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for the phone call.
She's not wrong.
No, not at all. And what happens is you look at an influx of money, but this is only one time.
Yeah.
And you're expanding programs that are going to take funding forever.
Yeah, well, and you have to keep in mind that, you know, yeah, we got an influx of money from COVID and whatever, mm-hmm. but we laid off teachers, we increased class sizes, there were still teachers left.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this right now, I'm worried about next year too. I am hearing of mass exoduses of teachers, and it's, so we're also facing that. So when you got, you know, we still have to budget for certain amounts of positions. We still have to budget for things that are coming. And, you know, those, it's, I get it. I know where people are at, you know, and like I said before, I can't make excuses of boards and admin of the past. I know that the district admin are working very hard to right the ship, but then we do an FEA contract where, you know, we're tied up for 3% this year, 3% next year. So that's killing us right now. And our admin are going crazy trying to figure it out. And it's, you know, we got a school board who I promise you is going to be on the path of, we got to do this, this, and this, and I don't...
It ain't going to be about education, is it?
No. No, they
So, Brett, they're going to come to you to fund education, but they are not going to be funding education. How about that for a misnomer?
No, that's... And
him and Miss Haney are a party of their own.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, we talk a lot with the teachers and about class sizes. You know, we're constantly talking about class sizes. I'd have to go back and really look and see if I could prove it to everybody, but I think if I went back to my grade school photographs, the class photographs, honestly, I don't ever remember sitting in a class with less than 25 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, our classes were 30 plus kids, 30 to 33 kids.
Yeah. One teacher.
One teacher. Oftentimes they did have an aide. I do remember aides. Some of them were volunteers. Some of them were paid. But why did it work then and it doesn't work now?
I got the answer.
I'm going to argue that it's interruptions in the classroom.
That's exactly it.
We're not focused when we're in the classroom. If we're dealing with people throwing books and pencils and chairs at the teacher, we're not doing what we need to be doing. No wonder the teachers are so worried about class size. Not only if they're having to deal with those kind of disruptions, if they have less kids, they have less chances of getting those same disruptive kids.
So, well, there's one more thing to that, though. It's not just the disruptions. It's the fact that they also don't have support from the parental units at home, and they don't have support from the admin in the buildings. What's happening is the teachers are having these problems. The teachers will send said child to, you know, the principal and say, this is what's going on, or they'll send them to the counselor or whoever is dealing with the discipline stuff that day. They'll talk to them for a few minutes. They'll give them a snack, you know, have them calm down. Then they send them back to class where that child is probably acting out because the kid probably shouldn't be in a classroom full of 30 kids. You know, he probably needs to be in a classroom maybe of 10 kids or 5 kids. He's one of, you know, like we have children that are like that, and so he should be separated, but he's not, and so he goes into that environment. It sends, you know, him in a frizzy, and then the teacher's having to deal with that instead of teaching the others. So it's a lack of support. It's the disruptions and then a lack of support for those disruptions because of inclusivity. Nobody wants to get in trouble anymore for anything. Nobody wants to get in trouble with a parent because they say that Johnny's being bad. How dare they say Johnny's being bad? Johnny would never be bad. You know, it's literally, this is what's going on, and our teachers are leaving because of it.
We have about 45 seconds left. Mr. Roderman, you're the guest. Getting dominated here a little bit by the school board. Yes. But she's my boss, and she can do that. How's that for sucking up? But you, sir, how do you want to end the show?
I want to plant the seed for next year's election in people's heads. We need to start thinking about this now. We don't need to start thinking about it 1 week before it's time to vote. Starting to work together a little bit behind the scenes with some folks. We're trying to get a better plan for this next time. But honestly, think about the next election. All politics are local. You see it play out every day, whether you want to or not. So,
thank you very much, both of you, for being on the show. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow.